Counting every blessing. Who's blessed? Who likes to make jokes constantly that you're cursed? We have the habit of pointing out things. It always happens to me. Sure, it's going to happen to me. Let's just focus in on our blessings. I'm telling you, this could be a message that really changes your perspectives. It kind of changes your life in a way. I think there are blessings that are laid out before us that we're not seeing, which means there's a hand of God in our lives that we could just be reminded that God's there. He cares. He loves me. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your mind. He knows what's going on. He has a passion for you. But we want to start off with a little trivia. Who likes trivia? Me neither, but we're going to do it anyway. So here we go. What year did the first Thanksgiving take place? Wait a second. I just gave you the answer. That was not supposed to go that way. Okay. Well, you're right. How did you guys know that? That's fantastic. Question number two. I'm not going to put it up there yet. Now I'm all confused. What year did it? Okay. Which American president declared Thanksgiving a national holiday? Washington, Eisenhower, or anybody else? It was Abraham Lincoln. Okay, we'll go a little bit newer for you here, 1900s. I just gave something away. What year was the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Close. You're right. Any guesses? 06? 37? You're getting close, Ian. Here we go. 1924. How many turkeys do Americans eat for Thanksgiving each year? Yeah, a lot. No, there's actually a guesstimation number here. Just throw something out. It's big, I'm telling you. 13 million? 50 million? 42 million? You're getting close. Are you ready? 46 million. Poor little stingers don't stand a chance, do they? All right, President Lincoln's proclamation. This is going to be hard, but it's more of a neat fact than a question. President Lincoln's proclamation stated Thanksgiving was a day to be, or a day to what? I'm hearing a lot of good things there. Let's just show you. Express gratitude and humility toward God. I love that. That our president would say, hey, let's keep the focus. Who really is blessing us here? It's our God. So let's show gratitude and let's show humility towards our God. You guys did good. Fantastic. Now, listen to this. Gratitude is learning to recognize. Did you catch the third word? It's a process. It's learning. So yes, many of us are, half dead or maybe even beyond that. Can you learn? Can you still take a look at your life and pick up some things during the process? I hope so. It's learning to recognize and express appreciation for the benefits we have received from God and from others. It means being intentional about thanking God and others for the blessings that come our way. So what I want you to do, as I had this thought as I was studying, has anyone ever moved? Okay, so keep that in mind. Has anyone ever cleaned out like a room? Have you ever been in a process of moving or cleaning something out and you've come upon something that you forgot you had and you love this thing? Anybody? We moved 3 years ago, and it's amazing how many things you can come across. Maybe it was an old T-shirt. Maybe that T-shirt just reminded you of a really neat time. Or with me, it was more in my garage and like tools that fell behind benches. Like, man, I could have been using this all this time. Or I bought 3 more of those because I kept looking. And so you find something that you've always had, but you didn't realize that you've always had it. And so you really stop looking for it. And in a way, gratitude is much like that. We always have the ability to be grateful. We always have the ability to be thankful. There's always something to be thankful for, regardless of what's going on in your life. But at times, we lose that mindset, and so we kind of stop looking for it. What I want us to do is for those of you who are doing our 30-day challenge, our devotional, that's just a great reminder to think, what am I grateful for? That devotional has, on a daily basis, reminded me to rethink my life and the things that are happening and things that are going on. And God, wow, you're present all over the place. But because I don't always realize that, I go on to my day with more of a mindset that isn't so grateful at times. So I'm going to run this by you. I almost didn't read this, but I am going to. Benefits of gratitude that actually happen to your physical body. The idea here is, I'm going to read these to you because I think it's really cool. And I think God's word, just when you walk in obedience to the word, you're blessed by it. But I don't want to guess the idea, oh, I could use more of this. I could use better sleep. I could use a better mind. Okay, so I'll start being more grateful, whatever, if I can get out of what I want. That's not the idea. It's to open your mind up to understand what God's done for you and allow yourself to live in a manner that you are grateful. People will see that. It offers hope and joy. But listen to the physical attributes that happen to gratitude. These are all studies. Gratitude can open the door to more relationships. If you're an introvert, you just said, I'm out. I don't want more relationships. But this can be a good thing. In 2014, a study was published in the Emotion magazine. The study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation that can help win new friends. So something as simple as being openly thankful to someone can actually start a conversation, can start a friendship, can go bigger than just walking by somebody. Has anyone ever just walked by someone, not said a word, and really built a phenomenal relationship out of that? Probably not. Second thing, gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains. And you might be thinking, that's impossible, but think about it mentally. If you're grateful, is your mind focused more on the things that aren't going so well, even physically in your life? So gratitude, gracious people experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more and often are more likely to attend regular checkups, which is likely to contribute to further longevity. This one, gratitude improves your psychological health. Anyone feel like you're going crazy? Okay, just the three of us. All right, listen to this. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, from envy to resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression because your mind is focused more and able to see what is good as opposed to the constant negatives. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. This is probably what hit me the most, is this one here. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, even when others behave less kindly, according to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky. Study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy towards other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge. I mean, that's powerful. And that's just coming. Is it odd to you to think that when God is asking you to do something that's going to have good results? So you're seeing now, just in being grateful and thankful to a God who is blessing you, it is affecting us physically, mentally, and emotionally. That shouldn't be odd. When God says walk in obedience, we're going to be blessed by that. So this is even blessing our life, seeking thankfulness and gratitude and seeing it happen in your life and realizing it affects you more than just, you know, a mindset. It even affects your physical body. Grateful people sleep better. Anyone struggle with sleep? Well, Jen, you're ungrateful. That's the problem. Now you know. Just having fun. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep. According to a 2011 study applied in psychology, health and well-being, spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. Now, I can tell you, I went through, it was not quite a year ago, but in a short period of time, my 14-year-old dog passed away. Max loved him. My friend, one of my best friends, gosh, since I was in junior high school, passed away at the age of 53, sudden. Was not expecting that. And I went through a relationship that was damaged in a way. So a relationship somewhat passed away. And I can tell you, and my wife can tell you, I slept horribly because it's like my body wasn't tired, but it was my mind could not rest, because of all the anxieties of the things that were going on that affected me in such a way. And so I would lay awake for like 3 hours, I mean, not even the least bit. You know your body had to be tired, but my mind was so focused on trying, how do I fix this relationship? How do I deal with just sudden loss of my friend? And this, and like I told you before, my dog passed away. Who's gonna look me in the face when I come home? My wife won't do it, I've asked her twice. But and so all these different things are going on, and I literally could not sleep for probably a two-month period where I was laying in bed 2 or 3 hours, getting about 3 hours of sleep, and then going and functioning through the day. And I tried everything, going to bed early. I mean, but there is power. There is, how do I want to say this? When you go through things like that, and you struggle to find hope, and to see a reason to be thankfulness, it's like your mind just focuses so hard that even it will not rest. And so that made a lot of sense to me. Gratitude improves self-esteem. 2014 study says that it found gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, an essential component in optimal performance. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful towards people who have more money or better jobs, a major factor in reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate people's accomplishments. So instead of envy, it's appreciation, because you're already grateful for what you already have. You're not desiring that you have what someone else has or that you have above them. And then lastly, it said gratitude increases mental strength. For years, researchers had shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following terrorist attacks on September 11th. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times, fosters resilience, not resilience. So a bunch of study, a bunch of reading, but I want us to understand when God lay something before us and ask us to walk in obedience to it, it has effect. So mentally, physically, emotionally, being grateful will have a tremendous effect on you. And if something affects you in a positive way, how does that domino effect work? If you are in a better place, people are going to be seeing a better, more healthy person, and you're going to affect them in a better way, much more positive. So that's all. Well, that's great. You read studies, and so this is fantastic. But what's the word have to say about it? There's a chapter in Psalms 103 where David is talking to God, and I love how he starts out. Listen to this. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. David was kind of an all-in person. When he screwed up big. But when he was on the right path, man, did he serve God well. A man after God's own heart. So he's saying, let all that I am. If we were created by God in his image, we should live for him because we're here because of him. We've been given abilities, purpose, gifts. We have all of that. So David is getting it, and he's saying, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. And he repeats it. What's it mean if you repeat something? You really mean it. And so he's really meaning this. So he goes again, let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things that he does for me. And so David had the practice because he went through some times where he was running for his life. Can you imagine a prophet comes to you and says, you are going to be king. You're going to be it. God is going to place you on the throne of heaven, Israel. You're going to rule under the authority of God over all these people. And the next thing you know, you're running for your life because the king's trying to kill you. Oh, wait a second. If I'm going to be king, why am I almost being murdered here? And so he had a lot of things in life where he could question, but his faith did not waver. So he needed to be reminded of the good things. So I can imagine when he was in that cave, you know, just hiding, fearing for his life, I can imagine he's like, God, I need to be reminded of the good things. You made me a promise. And so I can't see it right now how this is going to happen. But God, your promises, you keep all of them. So I'm just going to lean on your strength. Who's ever been in a place in life where you just have to lean on the promises of God because you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel? Yeah, I've been there. Oop, I didn't want to go there yet. So we end with, May I never forget the good things that he does for me. And then he begins to list them. I'm going to walk through these with you. This is cool. He says in verse 3, he forgives me of all my sins. That's huge. Now, this is Old Testament, although David, I believe, had been let in on a secret because David had has some prophecy about the Messiah. But at this point, the forgiveness of our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, the sins no longer have penalty. So the penalty of sin was death. But Jesus died on the cross. He was a pure lamb. He was sacrificed. He shed blood. So when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, you are allowing yourself now to be free from that penalty of sin, which bridges that gap to heaven. So now eternity is yours. God just asks that you live in the obedience of the word. And so this is huge, this that he forgives of my sins. And then he says he heals my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. All these things God's doing for David that he realized, he had to sit down and just run through his mind of everything that he's done. So I want you to do that as I'm reading this. And these things that David or happened for David, they happen for us. God has no favorites. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. Anyone ever tried to get your own righteousness? You're not being treated fairly, so boy, you go in there like a bull in a china shop and I demand a raise. At the same time, you're saying, God, it's yours. I'm going to work just as hard as I've ever worked. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to respect my bosses. I'm going to live for the Lord despite how you're treating me because, God, you have this. You treat me fairly. You will take care of me instead of me trying to take care of myself. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. So if you read that, in the Moses' time, why did the Israelites come under slavery for 400 years to Egypt? It was because of their disobedience to God in the first place. So what does God do? He has compassion on them, and he brings them out of Egypt and said, hey, let's try this again. And that's how he looks at us. If you're out there just killing yourself over your past mistakes, God is a God of forgiveness. That's why Jesus died for us. He's a God of grace. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. Anyone thankful for that? Whew, you ever get away with something where, like my parents now, I'm 52. I could probably sit them down and tell them a few things and not get a spanking for it. But if I would have told them back when it happened, I'm getting it. You know, that's back in the day, well, physical punishment was okay. And God knows everything that we do, and he's not like every single time. There are consequences, but his consequences guide us back towards him. His desire is that we love him, because when we get it, that's when our lives really mean something. That's when we become disciples. That's when our purpose is we're offering other people just the good news of Jesus Christ through our actions, through our words. We have to be active in our faith. You ever hear that, oh, my faith is private? I hate that saying. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. This is the good news of Jesus Christ that are saving people from a possibility of eternity in hell. Why in the world would that be a private thing? Even if you're a quiet person, that's fine. But God can work through you. Do not be private about your beliefs. Talk about them. If you feel cornered, what does the Bible say about persecution? Rejoice and be glad. You have just made public that you believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. Now this person that is persecuting you, they're fighting with their own issues. They now know they have someone they can come to. So don't cower at the chance of sharing his word. Be open about it, because you are now a beacon. You are now a lighthouse. People now know I can go and I can talk to this person because they understand the truth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'll end with this. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. That is our God. Now, did you, in your mind, even mentally jot down just a couple of things that were good in there? I mean, we serve this amazing, compassionate, loving God who knows you. His son died for you. He sacrificed. He allowed that sacrifice to happen for each and every one of us. We are taken care of, even in our most desolate times. God is there. And when you realize that, it can change your perspective of how you look at life. It can change your perspective of how you view people that may be harsh, but now you see, hey, they're not mean or harsh or rude. They're hurting. It can change your perspective of you. Hey, I'm not this little weakling that knows nothing. Man, I am. I'm maybe an infant in Christ, but I am growing. I know the truth. God is with me. And so when your perspective has changed, I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. Listen to this. This is a long focus point, but I love this focus point because usually I study everything out and then look at all my studies and come up with a focus point. I'm just sitting there before I even started, and I just started writing these things down because I just felt God was giving them to me. So this happened before even the studies were done. Gratitude changes our perspective. Putting in the effort, putting in the effort to focus on God's abundant blessings will change the state of our emotions, possibly impacting not only the way that we treat others, but also the way they treat us. So this message, if we get it, not that no one here is grateful, I'm not saying that, but if we get it and we take a really good look at our lives and we sit down and we take the time to just think about what's God done here to me, it could change your perspective, it could change your emotional position, which is going to change the way that you treat others. It could be greeted with joy instead of maybe constant complaints or whining or just why me attitude. There's a lot of why me attitudes that are just so blessed, but we're not taking the time and really look at what God's done for us. So we're going to do that just for a few moments. Are you ready? Guess what you have in front of you? Pumpkins, you're right, but that's not what I'm talking about. There's paper and there's pencils, by the way. These tables are beautiful. Connie Johnson did all of this. God bless her. And probably Randy for carrying it all upstairs. Connie tells me she has this and much more in her basement, so hey, if you ever want a party, she's a gal to go to. But listen to this. Think about an average day in your life and make a list of all the little things that you are grateful for. So there's a lot of different things we could talk about here. And when I was thinking about it, I thought there were different questions, but I thought, let's just take a day. That would be an easy, rather than sit back and think, oh, gee, what am I thankful for? Picture this. You just woke up. What are you thankful for? So there you go. So just take a moment, walk through your day. If the negatives pop in, we're not going to worry about those right now, because I think when you look at the positive and you mix a negative in, it might make that negative a little bit better. On the average day in your life, make a list of the little things that you are grateful for. As you do that, and I don't like silence, I'm going to talk. So I thought to myself, when you wake up, where am I at? Well, I'm in a bed. That's a pretty phenomenal thing. I'm actually in a home. I'm next to my wife, which made me think of my marriage and the 30 years that we've been together, which made me think of her and her integrity and her love for God, which also made me think of her ability as a mom and a wife. And so I was just so thankful for all the things just about her. Then I get up. In my morning, when I go and I sit down and I do my devotionals before I leave for work, well, that made me think of my relationship with God and the ability that I have a Bible and I don't have to hide my Bible. I can go out and buy another one if I want to. So that made me think of the freedoms I have to serve my faith. So right now, I haven't even left the house yet. And so far, I'm understanding, hey, I have these great things. Well, then I have to leave the house. Guess where I'm going? I'm going to a job, which not only helps pay the bills, but it gives me an opportunity to share my faith with people there at work. Guess how I get to my work? I hop into a vehicle that's sitting right out there with gas in, and it's all ready to go to take me there. I mean, there's all these little things that God has blessed us with. That sometimes we just get up and we just go. And before my days even really started, I have all these different things. I'm like, man, God, You have blessed me with so much, and yet there's so much more. So I just wanted you guys, keep going, but I just wanted you to take time to write this list down. Stick that in your pocket, your purse, your wallet, wherever you want. Put that somewhere where you can view it on a daily basis for a while. I don't expect you to, die with it, but you can. But just maybe tape it to your mirror in your bathroom for a little bit. Maybe put it on your dash of your car, but remind yourself to help shift your perspective to put you in a place to where, my goodness, God, you are so good to me. Your blessings are so great, to help us realize that this life that we have to live is a privilege, that we get to live it out under the blessings of God and then pass those blessings on by just being the hands and feet of God on a daily basis. So we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for our meal that's coming up. And then what's going to happen? Hang out for a while. And Joe, you can get up and walk around. But we're going to take about 10 minutes just for everyone in the kitchen to get things ready. Then we'll serve our lunch and just enjoy each other. If you have to leave, God bless you. But if you can stay, plenty of food for everybody. If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to stay and just build some relationships. So Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity that we can just be reminded of what's already there. Like that move when we're just getting our house ready to sell and we're just seeing, I've missed this. God, may we just take the time and say, I've missed realizing how great you are. I've missed being reminded of what you do for me on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute. So God, soften our hearts. Give us the time that it takes to realize what you've done for us and who you are in our lives. And help that change our perspective to where we can look at other people. Maybe it's at our jobs or restaurants or stores or wherever we're at, our family, wherever we're going, and look at them and just even view them with gratitude. If it's someone that's good to us, may we thank you for that. Someone who is maybe somewhat toxic to us, may it give us the ability just to thank you that we have the opportunity to pray for this individual and to maybe bring some hope and joy into their lives, because something's wrong. People are made in your image, and that's good. So when it's bad, something's wrong. So break our hearts for those situations. And God, just open our eyes up to be thankful, to be full of joy for what you're doing. And the things in our life that are not going well, may we just lean on your word, because your word says, lay those requests before me and wait in expectation, because you are God, and so we can expect you to do amazing things. And it also says, Lord, that you walk us through trials and difficult times in order to build our faith, because now we can see you do the work. So, Father, we just give you us right now. Holy Spirit, walk through us, walk through our minds, our hearts, our emotions, and steer us in the direction you would have us to go. We pray all of this in your name alone. Amen.